Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
God has provided an antidote against the decline of the church. Right after the Apostle Paul discusses the worsening of the church's decline in 2 Timothy 3, 1-13, he then immediately follows with a wonderful, heavenly, divine, spiritual, and rich antidote that's the subject of our Life Study radio program today. Stay with us for an encouraging program full of the divine supply. This is Matt Miller, and Bill Lawson is here to enjoy this great and often misunderstood portion of Scripture with us. Welcome, Bill.
It's very good to be back here to get into 2 Timothy chapter 3.
Yeah, this portion that we're going to cover today, Bill, particularly is chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. So I'll start out by reading those verses. It says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for conviction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work." Bill, can you talk about how this great portion of Scripture has been misunderstood and is still being misunderstood?
Yes, Matt. Let me just share a little bit here. I think when you say it's misunderstood, I think in this way it's misunderstood that Most Christians and Bible students and even Bible teachers, I would say, they render this portion of the Word that the Word of God has the ability, mainly objectively speaking, to reprove us, to convict us, to correct us, to instruct us. But many take this in an outward way that we use the black and white letters of the Bible to, in a sense, instruct one another or even to correct one another. Yet the real intrinsic meaning here is much deeper than that, because the Bible has like 2 layers in its content. It has the black and white letters, which are the, you know, the actual outward words, which in the Bible, in the Greek, it's the logos. But the Bible has another deeper part, and that's called the rhema in Greek, R-H-E-M-A. The rhema is the living word, the life-giving word, the essence, the life and the light and the essential spirit of the word. So when we talk about this verse, verse 16 and also verse 17, what Paul is really trying to get through to Timothy is that the Word of God not only objectively and outwardly can correct, reprove, instruct, but mainly in its essential character, it has a life element, a life capacity, a life essence, where it can unveil us to the divine things in the Bible. It can convict us inwardly. It can reprove us. It can correct us inwardly. And it can even instruct us inwardly in the matters of the divine revelation and the matters of the spirit and life.
Well, Bill, we really hope to bring our listeners today to that deeper level, to the what you called the life essence of the Scripture. Let's go to Witness Lee now for a very good program from his speaking in December of 1980.
Verses 16 and 17 says, "All scriptures got breathed and profitable for 4 things, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work." You know, most of the Christians, they misused these 2 verses. They miss the life pulse. We know a human being is composed with a physical body, but the physical body is not the real being of a person. It is the spirit and the soul. In the same principle, God's word comes to us in letters, but it is not only in letters. It is not only in black and white, but also in spirit. You see, if today we only exercise our educated mentality to study the Bible by black and white without the spirit, we are just through. This is the problem today. Most Christians receive, contact the Bible just by the black and white, forgetting, neglecting the spirit. But the Lord says, the word I spoke to you, they are the spirit. Every word of the Bible is a part of God's breath. Not only breath, it's God's breathing. No, you cannot study and receive the breath and the breathing by your mental study. Suppose Brother Steve comes up. You breathe on me. Regardless how much he breathes on me, I study his breath. I study his breathing. What I receive? Nothing. Well, what is the way to receive the breathing? He exhales, I inhale. Just to study the Bible is altogether not sufficient. Without the breath, the breathing of the divine living God, this for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, these things are exactly like Confucius' ethical teachings. Confucius teaches the same thing. We need to exercise our eyes to read the black and white. No doubt, spontaneously, our mentality will understand the meaning. But this is not sufficient. We must exercise our spirit. We need to exercise the innermost part, our spirit, to pray the word.
Amen.
That is to inhale the word. God breathes out, we breathe in. God exhales, we inhale.
Bill, let's stop right here because this is a really important point that I want our listeners to make sure they get this. This is, I think we're getting to the heart of today's program. If the scripture is God's breathing out, that's vitally important then for us to breathe in. So how do we inhale the word of God?
Yes, Matt, Brother Lee here, when he, like you say, when he got to this point, he was really quite burdened and really quite, I would say, animated, because he's touching something here that's very deep. Of course, that verse in 2 Timothy 3 is that all scripture is God-breathed. That means the very nature of God's word is God's breath. But more than that, when God actively speaks, that is God's breathing out of himself. So when God breathed out, he breathed himself right through the word into man, and this was recorded, and these are the very holy scriptures that we have before us. He uses the word, is very interesting. He uses a medical term, exhale and inhale, and we don't usually think of that referring to spiritual matters, but this is exactly what Paul was writing to Timothy, that on God's side, he exhaled himself through his word. We know the God himself is embodied in his word, and the spirit, right, is embodied, right, in the word. So the very essence of God's word is spirit and life. So for us to contact God, for us to receive God as life, for us to receive the very element of God as life, we need to inhale what God exhales. This is really marvelous. I really appreciate Brother Lee's analogy here of exhaling and inhaling. And because the word of God is spirit and life, life, and we have, like you say, a human spirit. Now there's a match here, right? There's a contact here. God's essence is spirit, and the spirit is embodied in his word. So when we use our human spirit to contact God the Spirit in the word, then there's a match. So we receive the very life of God, the nature of God, the riches of God in his word by our exercising our spirit. It may be to call on the Lord's name. It may be to pray over his word. Then we strike the essence of the spirit with our human spirit, and that something of fire, something of life, something organic transpires, and we receive God's very life.
The different translations on this verse don't all use this phrase, all scripture is God-breathed. Some use the phrase that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Can you relate that to some who might find this term, all scripture is God-breathed, as strange? Can you just say a quick word about that?
Yes, that's good, Matt. Of course, in the King James translation, the 1611 translation, they use the rendering of all scripture is given by inspiration of God. We may have a concept that there's a sudden inspiration, that when we read the Bible, we need to look for a sudden inspiration, and maybe some believers have the inspiration and other believers may not have the inspiration. So if we don't get the inspiration, then maybe all we're relegated to is just trying to understand the Bible with our natural fallen mind. But the real translation is all scripture, even one Greek translation, is that all scripture that is God-breathed is profitable. So in that sense, you have a nuance, you have a shade of meaning that even the scripture that is God-breathed is profitable. The scripture, of course, we know it's profitable, but especially God's breathed out scripture is profitable to us when we exercise our spirit and touch the spirit of the scripture.
Implying that if you're touching the scripture in a non-breathing way, not by exercising your spirit,
right,
it may not be profitable for you.
Right. Of course, we know that the Bible is obviously profitable in many ways, like reading it, musing upon it, understanding it. But as you're saying, the most profitable way, Matt, you know, there in that Greek translation is that all scripture God breathed is profitable. And the most profit that we can receive from the Word of God is to contact the Word in a living way and draw the life element from the Word. Then that feeds us, that transforms us, that metabolically washes away the things that are within us and replaces it with the very element of God.
Thanks, Bill. I'm glad I asked you the question to clarify that. I hope that helped our listeners as well. And it also is a good segue into the next section with Witness Lee, as he's going to get into this metabolic work of the Word as we breathe it in and after we breathe it in. Let's go on with the life study.
With God's word, there is the divine breath. Within the black and white is the spirit of God, who is life. So we must exercise our spirit. The same sentence after we read, then we pray, it becomes not only sweet, but what? Nourishing, refreshing, saturating, watering. What a difference. And eventually I tell you, dear saints, all these 4 points for teaching, for correction, for reproof, for instruction, righteousness, all these are items of transformation. The Bible doesn't correct us from without. It corrects us from within by the way of transformation. It is a kind of metabolic work. Just like your food nourishes you, not from without. The food has to get into you to be digested, assimilated, then it nourishes you from within. And that is the metabolic work that not only nourishes you, but changes you, transforms you. This is the holy work. We all have to pray the word. Not only to pray the word, just like Apostle Paul says in Colossians 3, we have to psalm the word, we have to sing the word, because praying, psalming, and singing surely fan our spirit into free. It fans our spirit. then we are inhaling. Inhaling. What you would inhale in is just the divine element. You just receive more element of God. It is through this, dear saints, that God dispenses himself into you. It is through this that God infuses you with his divine element. I hope this word is clear to you all.
Bill Witnessley was clarifying a point here that I think is really helpful according to God's intention, that he wants to infuse us with his very element to be our supply. And there's some practical help here to do it. He mentioned singing, he mentioned psalming, he mentioned praying the word. The word is really there, and we just need to use these practical helps to receive its infusion into us for a supply. I was wondering if we could sing a song. How about that?
Oh, sounds
How about
good.
We sing this verse together and give a practical example before you make a comment about it?
All Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work.
I've been enjoying that song this morning, Bill, as I was preparing for this radio program, and I think singing it can help our listeners understand that you can enjoy singing the word even if you're not a good singer.
Right.
I'm a good testimonial of that.
Very good. As Brother Lee said, Matt, God's desire is to infuse himself, to dispense himself as life into man. And he needs a channel, he needs a mechanism in order to do that, and he does that through his word. But if we don't have the proper practical way to receive that dispensing, it's hard for us to be supplied and nourished by God's word. So as you mentioned about being practical, the Bible itself is very practical. And by praying with the word, with the very word of the scripture, praying over the word, pray reading the word, even singing the word, psalming the word, the very element, the very substance, the very nature of God can metabolically transform us and change our very inward element into the very nature of God. So even if you look at Paul's word to the Ephesians in chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, Paul says, "Receive the sword of the Spirit, which Spirit is the word of God," right, the word, "by means of all prayer and petition." So even in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul gives us the Ephesians a practical way to receive the word of God by praying at every time in spirit. And then also in his other epistles, Paul talks about the matter of singing and psalming with your heart to the Lord. So the song that you and I just sang there, that is taken directly from the scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and you can actually sing the very words of the scripture. Many times we try to think of a song or try to compose a song. It's not that easy. But if we would use the very word of God as the content of our songs, then that just dispenses the very nature that's in the word into us to metabolically transform us.
You know, there's a picture in Acts chapter 16, Apostle Paul and Silas who were there in prison, and it was midnight, and instead of moaning and groaning, it says they were there singing. Right. And as they were singing and praising the Lord, the jail door opened. There was an earthquake, and many times if we find ourselves imprisoned, we can enjoy the singing just like Paul and Silas did and not bemoan our condition, but many times the Lord will cause an earthquake in our situation and break us out of that jail through our enjoyment of singing and praising the Lord.
Right.
Well, let's go on to Witness Lee with the final portion today of our life study, Bill. But before we do, let me read the verses. I really enjoy the portion that he's going to cover in this conclusion. It's Ephesians 1, verse 17 and 18. It's the prayer of the Apostle Paul. He said he was praying for the Ephesians that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of him, the eyes of your heart having been enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Let's go to Witness Lee.
You may read 2 Timothy 10 times, 20 times, even 50 times, you could never see The inoculation is there. You need the light. You could never see the Holy Scripture with the New Testament, and the Old Testament is the antidote there. You have the black and white, everybody has. As long as you get education up to ninth grade, you can read the King James Version. The Pharisees, the scribes, they know the divine title, God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. They never had the light that in that divine title implies what? Resurrection. They may get the scholarship to know that title, but they never got the light of resurrection. In that title, resurrection is there. I hope you may see something of this. It's not to spend that much time just to study the black and white. You must say, Lord, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Paul wrote a clear epistle to the Ephesians, yet he prayed for them that they may receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Otherwise, they just receive the writing in black and white. No light, no revelation. As long as there's no light, then no spirit, no life. This is why we humble ourselves, we open up ourselves, we look to Him day and night for light, for revelation, for vision, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I hope that we all will learn.
Bill, I also hope that we would all learn this way of receiving light from the Word and getting to the deeper level, the essence of life that's in the Word. Can you help our listeners at the conclusion of our program learn this way?
If we go back here to 2 Timothy 3, verse 14, we talk about Paul's telling Timothy to continue in the things which he has learned and the things assured of. And then in verse 15, he goes into the matter of Timothy knowing the Holy Scriptures. Of course, verse 14, that became the New Testament. Verse 15, that we know, is the Old Testament. So Paul says eventually in verse 16, all Scriptures. So both the Old Testament and the New Testament is the divinely inspired, God-breathed Word of God. But even the matter of teaching there, the first point, all Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching. Teaching there in this verse is not just theological instruction or knowledge or doctrines. It's the unveiling of the things of God. The teaching here means when you teach, when you speak the Word of God, you unveil God's heart, you unveil God's thought, you unveil God's purpose to people, and that's what starts the sequence of conviction, reproof, and so on. Here in Ephesians, similarly, Paul is really burdened that the Ephesian saints would see the deeper things of God, so he prays for them. You know, starting out that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit here. The spirit here is not the Holy Spirit, neither is it merely the human spirit, but is the mingled spirit. It's the Holy Spirit mingled with our human spirit, and that is a mingled spirit of wisdom and revelation. Wisdom is on our side, so we need an organ with the ability to receive and understand the divine things in God's Word. And on God's side, it's a spirit of revelation. God reveals, but on our side, we need an exercised spirit, an open heart, open spirit to receive what God unveils to us. That's why we cannot just use our mind to try to understand the Word, to our eyes to read the Word. We need our human spirit, the deepest part of our being, to be unveiled, to be a spirit of wisdom for us to apprehend and comprehend the life element and the very nature of God that's deeper there in the Word.
Bill, thanks for coming into the studio today.
Very good to be here again.
We're going to continue with 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8, which is entitled The Incentive to the Inoculator, Life Study Message Number 7. On behalf of Bill Lawson, this is Matt Miller. Thank you for listening.